Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, the founder of Entree Architect and the host of Entree Architect Podcast. Today, we launched a new podcast at Gable Media, our new multimedia network empowering global leaders in architecture, engineering, and the construction industries. The new show, it's called Practice Disrupted, and I am so excited about it. It's a podcast that is so needed right now in our profession, so I wanted to drop in between our regular feed here to introduce it to you and to share a conversation that I recently had with the co-hosts of Practice Disrupted, Evelyn Lee and Janine Chastain. I hope you like it. Enjoy. Evelyn Lee and Janine Chastain, welcome to this special episode of Entree Architect Podcast.
Thanks, Mark, for having us. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Oh, I'm excited to have you both here. This is going to be a fun episode. This is a special episode. We're going to be talking about a new show on Gable Media, a new podcast called Practice Disrupted. And we have our guests here, Evelyn Lee and Janine Chastain, are the hosts of that new show. Evelyn Lee is the first ever senior experience designer at Slack Technologies, where she seamlessly integrates her business and architecture background with a focus to build a better workplace experience for Slack employees, visitors, and guests. Evelyn is widely published. She wrote a column for 3 years at Contract Magazine, which is where I discovered you, Evelyn. I used to read that article or that column. And she now frequently contributes over at Architect Magazine. Evelyn has received numerous industry awards, including the 2016 40 Under 40 Award for Building, Design, and Construction, and the 2014 AIA National Young Architects Award. She currently serves as the first ever female treasurer to the AIA National Board, and she is a speaker at national industry meetings and conferences, focusing on topics such as developing knowledge leadership, organizational change management, capacity building, stakeholder engagement, and strategic approach to put design thinking into practice. She is an out-of-the-box thinker. One of the things I love about her and her writing, and it's going to be a really interesting podcast to hear your perspective on the profession of architecture. And Janine Chastain is a business strategy consultant trained in architecture and business management with expertise in marketing, communications, and leadership development. She founded Apostrophe Consulting to inspire architecture firms to adopt modern best practices on business management with the goal of helping teams win more work, build a culture of leadership and trust within their studio, and create a pipeline for emerging leaders to grow. Her work is inspired by her career in the San Francisco Bay Area, where she collaborated with award-winning architecture firms as an architectural designer and a marketing professional. And as a designer, she learned how architecture teams operate and learned how to make organizational improvements from within different types of studio environments. Janine has served as the national president of the American Institute of Architecture Students and sat as a national board member at the American Institute of Architects. So no strangers to strategizing beyond the box of our profession. And that is exactly what we're going to be talking about today. The new podcast, these ladies are the host of that new podcast, Practice Disrupted. One of my favorite names of all time for any podcast I've ever heard. I love that name.
That's saying a lot. That's also a lot of pressure.
I love it. I love it because it says exactly what it is. You want to sort of, I like it that it's a little bit provocative, right? You're poking a little bit. It's not really intended to irritate. It's there to, from my point of view, it's really intended to make people think, right? To sort of go beyond that. So let's talk about, I want to dive into your history first. Before we get into the podcast itself and what it's going to be, let's talk about you both, how you know each other, where you sort of your backgrounds beyond what I just shared with us. Evelyn, do you want to sort of just get started and sort of talk a little bit about how you and Janine got to know each other and why you ended up where we are today?
I actually might want to defer this to Janine because I think Janine started to hear about me before I actually met her.
Yeah, it's true. I was on the AIA National Board of Directors in my early 20s, like coming right out of architecture school. And I was working with all these senior leaders in practice. And as a young female professional, they kept saying, "You really need to meet Evelyn Lee. I feel like you guys would really hit it off." And as my career grew and I ended up moving to California, Evelyn and I started bumping into each other through our different AIA events. And essentially, I think we were both going for our MBAs. You finished first. I came in right after you. And we started talking a lot more consistently about some of the things going on that we were seeing and realized we had definitely a lot of similar perspective about the industry.
I mean, so two architects, they're both trained as architects. You both have MBAs. Right there makes you different. Right? Because you're thinking differently than any other architects out there that don't go for their MBAs. So right from the very beginning, you're thinking about your profession and how you can fit within that profession by pursuing an MBA. Let's start there. Why did you both do that? Why did you both decide that an MBA would benefit you as architects?
So I think I made a very conscientious decision that I didn't want to go back to traditional practice when I went and pursued my MBA, which I feel is different than other architects who want to like learn how to get an MBA and then come back and do and start their own practice. Mine was because at the time I had left traditional practice and I was working at Public Architecture running what was then the 1% program, has since been named the 1+ program. But really, it was at a time where there was a lot of architects that had signed up willing to give 1% of their billable hours towards the public good, but they were having problems finding nonprofit organizations to partner with on pro bono projects. And I became the first program manager to begin asking nonprofits to come to the organization and look for potential collaborations there. And really understanding that, you know, I think all of us as architects are aware that the general public doesn't really understand beyond like a ground up new building what we offer. But, you know, further struggling with how do I communicate the value on a lot of different scales to those nonprofit organizations and not having the language to do so in what I felt was a very intelligent way. So that stint was only ever really meant to be 1 year long, and I was trying to figure out my next step. And it, you know, it just so happened that 2008 was a really good year to go back to grad school, fortuitously. And then I ended up picking up an MPA too, which focuses more on organizational management and kind of qualitative, creating qualitative ways of measuring findings. Ultimately, that's what drove me, is not understanding the language and wanting to really be able to communicate that out.
What about you, Janine?
Well, I think early on, I always hear these stories about people saying they knew they wanted to be an architect when they were young. And for me, I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And when I was in architecture studio, I distinctly remember taking a break from studio one day and I was just sitting outside and I was thinking about, man, I'd really like to go for my MBA. I think that that's really where my skill and my strength is, the business world. And as I moved into practice, I had taken on different leadership opportunities that really allowed me to explore that part of my capability, and I loved it. So after getting to the Bay Area and going through the recession out there and really feeling the pain of that experience, I knew I wanted to go for it, and I'm so glad I did, because it really complemented the training that I got in architecture school and in practice and furthered those problem-solving skills in a new way. So I have been really happy with my decision.
Evelyn, your position at Slack, senior experience designer, can you explain what you do today?
What I do today is very different than what I did even 12 weeks ago. So right now, actually today, the day that we're recording this, it'll go live a little bit later. We just announced, similar to Twitter and Square, that we are allowing any of our workforce to, who can work remotely, to be entirely remote. So my current position at Slack is really looking at on top of that, we're not closing our offices. So what does reopening our offices look like? Keeping the safety, the health and safety of our employees, and putting them first. For us, it means repositioning all of our offices to be really kind of a quiet place for people to come back, and if that's what they need to be productive. And then also, having really fun focus groups internally to think a big picture about what is our future real estate strategy going forward, especially as our workforce becomes increasingly distributed.
So is that your role, where you sort of look at the real estate assets of Slack and decide how they're going to be best used?
Yes and no. Slack, I think, like any growing technology company, suffers from the people in real estate were given like another hat to wear, I should say, right? Like, but they don't necessarily have deep background and expertise in even programming and planning of a building. So part of it is just coming and helping our build team lay in processes that we're all used to seeing, right? For procurement, kind of beefing up their RFPs and making sure we're not getting generic kind of marketing materials whenever we do go out for a new RFP, and helping with those processes and developing design guidelines. But also, I feel like the more exciting part of my job is really thinking about how our people are meeting, how our people are collaborating, and what are the spatial needs that we need to build to support that. And then at a broader scale, what does that mean when we have less people coming into the office? Does the office really become this collaborative hub? Does our real estate become more customer centric, and then an onsite for our remote employees? I feel like the sky is the limit right now. So we're trying to run various different scenarios and figure out what that next step is.
Yeah. I think that conversation is happening all over the country and potentially all over the world, because the we'll never go back to the way we worked. We have forever changed the way we do work in the world after the pandemic, where everybody within a week was forced to go home. The companies were forced to create the systems that they had procrastinated on and refused to do for a decade. They were forced to do it in a week or a month. And now they have those systems, right? They're not perfected, but those systems, after a couple of months of working this way, companies are functioning that way. And so
absolutely,
I think many companies will start making that change. Some have already, like you just said, some have already decided that, and I think many will follow. What will be interesting is to see how the architecture confirms when and if they follow as well. Architecture is typically a decade behind the rest of the world in adopting.
Painfully slow adopters. Yes.
Yes, exactly right. And so that's exactly the things that I imagine you both will sort of explore on your podcast, is how is the profession changing, right? And how and what is disrupting the practice of architecture? And so it'll be a very interesting conversation to hear those conversations. And I want to dive into that a little bit, but I want to hear a little bit more about Janine. What do you do at Apostrophe?
So I have gone full time now with my consulting business, and it is based off of my time working for really incredible architecture firms out in the Bay Area. I had a great opportunity to be mentored by some amazing architects who are running really wonderful businesses, and saw up close all these different versions of what it means to practice. And I guess because of where I am as a millennial in my career, and trying to become a licensed architect, and also having had this unusual leadership experience early on in my career, I just was seeing these trends across all of those experiences where there was this resistance towards change that was holding the firm's back in some ways, even though they were doing incredible work and really building amazing things, just more operationally, and sometimes struggles with people or different phases of the business. And I wanted to help architects figure that part out. And I wanted to start to discuss those things because I see a risk that is a very big threat to our industry, where people my age might end up leaving, and we're going to have another shortage of architects when we need architects, and we need people to stay in this career so that they can reach the same leadership potential as the people that are mentoring them now. But that disconnect is really causing a lot of people to walk away from this industry. And I saw an opportunity to create a business that really looked at that and started to help architects and architect entrepreneurs solve those problems. So I come from it with a deep background in marketing. And of course, I'm trained in architecture, so I understand the design side too. I help people with that marketing communications piece, but I am very excited about the people development piece around leadership development. And I've recently been helping firms with mentorship and looking at that and how you start to train new leaders coming into leadership positions on how to be better mentors and managers, and also stepping forward into different roles within their firm. So it's a little bit of a lot of things, actually, is what I'm doing. And it really depends on what the firm is struggling with, because each firm has different challenges based on their owners and their leadership team. And I get really excited about going in and helping them figure those things out and diagnose it and solve it.
It sounds like a really interesting job. it sounds exciting. And I think at this moment, I think in time, the world is shifting, is transitioning. I think our profession is shifting and transitioning. It is evolving. And I'm an optimist. I see bright future for our profession. But I've also heard Evelyn say that there is a likelihood or a possibility that the profession becomes obsolete. And I've talked about that as well. And that's a real possibility. I know a lot of people hear that and think, well, that's impossible. The architects will always be here. There'll always be buildings, there'll always be architects. But that's not necessarily true. The architecture world, or the profession as we know it, could very easily become obsolete if we don't grab hold of it and take advantage of some of the opportunities that are out there. The world is changing. The way we work is changing. There needs to be leadership in the built environment, both in the building side of it as well as the people side of it, right? The people who are doing that work needs to change. And those changes are happening elsewhere in the world, in other industries. Architects have always been late adopters, as we've mentioned, but those changes are happening. And so, but there are also opportunities, massive opportunities with those changes, that architects can go beyond the traditional practice of designing buildings and become leaders in those other places. And so I wanted to get your thoughts on that, and on the future of architecture, the future of the profession. Evelyn, I've read articles that you've written about this topic. What is your thought on what I've just set up?
So many different thoughts. I also wanted to thank you for the very warm introduction, but I realized that what isn't in that is that I also founded Practice of Architecture, right? And that practice Disrupted is a podcast, a Practice of Architecture hosted by Gable. I wanted to make the connection to Practice of Architecture. For me, my ongoing involvement in the AIA has really been because I love the people and I love this profession dearly. But it's also because I feel like I'm often the devil's advocate in the room. After getting my MBA and my MPA, I worked in the strategy world. in design strategy, right, at a firm called MK Think. It was a medium-sized firm where our strategy group was bringing in as much, if not more, revenue than the architecture group. And I saw that there's an opportunity for a lot more architecture firms to be doing this. Right now, as an industry, we suffer from the cyclical nature of the construction cycle, right? It's one of the most more predictable cycles. There'll be times when people that are building, there'll be times when people aren't. So really, how do architects look at other products, services, you know, things that they could provide, value that they can bring their clients during those times when we aren't building? And it's funny to me that so many architects talk to that in a way they say, like, I want to be the master builder. I want to be the first person a client calls when they have any type of problem. But unless you begin talking about all of the other services that you can offer, then you're not going to be that individual, right? Because you kind of even with your close clients, you have to start cultivating that knowledge of what else you can do as an architect. From a strategy perspective, operations, systems. I think we're incredible systems thinkers. I think we could work at applying design thinking more holistically, which is a whole nother conversation. But there's an opportunity for us to change and really position ourselves in leaderships and be thought leaders. And move the profession forward. But if we continue to do what we have done for the last, you know, the last decade or two that I have been in the profession, then I only see that we'll continue to give away our services, or, you know, other people will claim the type of work that we do, and that we'll continue to see our market eroded.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the like I said, the profession is in transition, and I think it's in transition for many different reasons. I think that the new generation that is coming into the profession, the one that is entering now, the one that will come behind it, are naturally entrepreneurial. I think that they are being brought up entrepreneurial. They've certainly been brought up with technology, unlike I have. You know, I'm that generation that was before, you know, the use of computers. I was trained on CAD when the first computers came into the office, and I've seen where we are today. And so I've seen that transition, and technology will continue to be a massive disruptor in our profession at so many levels, and more as the technology can literally disrupt the profession, where the computers start doing some of the work that we do. That's happening already. But the people who are coming into the profession are different than the people who are leaving the profession. And so some of that change is already happening naturally from the shift in the generations of leadership. But then we also have this pandemic in the middle of all this, right?
Yeah.
And the pandemic has just accelerated everything, right? Talk about disruption. Massive, global, unprecedented, historic disruption to the world.
Yeah.
And certainly has disrupted our profession. That has created some pain, but it also creates massive opportunity on the other side of this, because now we've shifted everything. The built environment is no, we were just talking about that, Evelyn, how with your work at Slack, it's the way you work is different, right? It's going to change. The way that people work from home is going to become more permanent, the way we do work. And so that's all opportunity for architects on both ends of that, right? In the residential side and the commercial side.
And I think it goes beyond just thinking like how we use space, right? Like it goes, like the easy pickup there on the residential side is how do we design more office space.
Right. That's the no-brainer.
Right. But I want architects to like take the next leap in terms of like what else should we be looking at? Is there, you know, with these ADUs, like is there this home office product that you can offer that people just drop into their garage that like it has, and you just need to plug it into a regular outlet, and then, you know, somehow your like Wi-Fi and everything is all there, and you have like the monitors built in. I don't know, but like what is the next iteration that architects can really think through?
Right. It's not just about designing the space, right? There's more to it that we can become responsible for. Our roles can be expanded beyond that building designer. When I use that example of, you know, everybody now is working from home, the offices will shift, right? Because now the office environment needs to be redesigned because we're not working that way anymore. So now there's an opportunity at the commercial side as well. But then, like you said, Evelyn, there's systems in between now, right? There's a system now that has to be created to allow people to work that way. Some of those systems have been forced to be created in this pandemic, but those systems will continuously become a piece of that. And there's no reason why the architect can't own that too, right? The systems between the built environments at each end of it, we should be the experts there, right? We should be getting paid to create those systems.
Yeah. And I'd like to say that by being an expert in those systems, then we create more opportunity for us to continue that work into the building. So there's been criticism in the past with my own work, even though I'm a licensed architect, that I don't actually ever practice architecture anymore, in the building sense. And yes, I mean, you can agree or disagree to that comment, but I think, I mean, my argument is that if architecture firms do more of the strategic work, it will lead to more building work. So if you're a hardcore builder, if you're somebody who, you know, is in it for the love of, you know, the technical drawings and how things go together, then this, I feel like this discussion is still for you, because this will help you get more meaningful work.
Beyond the built environment, we're also looking at the design opportunities that exist within the infrastructure of the firm itself. Like, instead of only looking externally about our clients and the work we're doing, we're hoping that this conversation will help people think about internally in their own organization some of the design opportunities that exist, and thinking about their own company, the people, the systems that they're doing things by, the where they're holding on to the traditional way that things are done, and perhaps there's space where they can reevaluate that and make changes that are towards new ideas that maybe someone wants to try out and see if it works better.
Can Jeannie, can you explain how the podcast is going to be formatted? Sort of what can people expect when they go and listen to Practice Disrupted?
Sure. So throughout this first season, we're going to have different experts talking about these different facets of the change that we're observing, and we're going to dive deeper into those topics. With each episode, we'll have an introduction where we set this conversation up, and a debrief where we kind of walk away and look at what was discussed and the action items that are going to relate back to how our listeners can take what they've heard and apply it directly into their own work. We're also going to be running a series through the whole show called Architecture And, which looks at an expanded view of how architects have pivoted and done amazing things with their career that are a little bit outside of the traditional realm of architecture. And we have a lot of exciting guests coming on this season to look at that as well.
Yeah, I am so excited about this podcast. Evelyn, what are some of your goals for this podcast? Why are you doing this? And then we'll wrap things up with that. I'd like to know your thoughts on that, Jeannie, and then I also want to sort of mention what my thoughts are as well.
Yeah, people are digesting information in so many different formats, right? I have found my way through the publishing world, right? And I've wrote for Inhabitat way back in 2005, before it was like a thing to actually write for a blog and get paid money for. So I feel like I feel like we're doing okay on the online publishing side. You know, for me, this is another platform to reach a new set of audience members, and to really to let people also know that one, they're not alone in some of these thoughts. I feel like the more we get out there, the more I hear, I'm like, oh yeah, I've been thinking about that, but I didn't really know who to talk to about that. So, you know, to really create the community around the individuals that are being more forward thinking, and, you know, best case scenario, begin to change the minds of those that maybe are holding on to some of the more traditional ways. Ultimately, I would like to see a shift in practice. And I think we come at this with an attitude of rising tides raise all ships.
Yeah.
So the more that architects are out there doing this, the more people will see the value of architects beyond a ground up building.
Yeah. Yeah. I love what you're doing at Practice of Architecture. And I imagine that this podcast sort of allows you to dive deeper into some of those topics that you write about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And be able to talk to some of those people that can help expand the ideas and inspire others to sort of dig deeper into some of the concepts that you explore over there. Janine, what are your thoughts? What are your goals for Practice Disrupted?
Well, we just had a really great conversation gearing up for our podcast about the next generation of practice, which is a theme that we hope to explore. And I think that that's essentially what we're doing. We are working to understand what that means. And it's happening right now. We're defining it in this current moment. And we're going to continue to define it over the next decade. So I feel like this conversation is really a research project in some ways to get clarity around what are those shifts in practice that are changing and what are the ways in which we're going to be going forward from here on out in the way that the industry operates. So it's an ongoing conversation, but I think we're trying to go take a really deep dive into looking at each of those elements and exploring them, naming them, and talking about actual ideas that people can implement in practice or their careers.
I think this podcast is going to be very popular, very successful, very quickly, because I think there is a community of architects and design professionals out there already looking for this, right? There's a generation of architects out there who already think this way, that the old way of doing things is not necessarily the right way. And that yes, there's lots to learn from the way we did it, right? And designing buildings is never going to change. We are architects. We design and create the built environment. But there are new ways to do things, right? There are bigger ways. There are more opportunities that architects can embrace and become more influential in the world. And I believe that there's a community of architects and design professionals who are already out there. And so my goal, my hope for this podcast is that you two ladies inspire change, that you inspire those opportunities, that when people think, oh, maybe we should go with that. No, I'm an architect. I can't do that. No, go do that. Go explore those opportunities. I hope you inspire major, massive, disruptive change in our profession. And I think you will. And so that's my hope. That's my
Thank
hope.
Thank you.
No pressure. No pressure.
No, that's a huge compliment. I really appreciate that. That is my goal too.
So their names are Evelyn Lee and Janine Chastain. I highly recommend that you go subscribe to Practice Disrupted right now. It's over at GableMedia.com. It's Gable Media, GableMedia.com. It's always fun talking to both of you. I really enjoy talking to you because you always make me sort of think out of the box. And I'm that type of person too. I like thinking beyond where we are today. And so I appreciate you both for coming on here and spending some time with me and talking about what your plans are. So I appreciate you both for being here.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. We appreciate you too.
So go there right now. GableMedia.com, GableMedia.com, or search for Practice Disrupted on your favorite podcast listening platform, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. It's there. I will be back in your feed tomorrow with our next regular episode of Entree Architect Podcast. So until then, go subscribe to Practice Disrupted and listen to episode 1. It's waiting for you right now. Love, learn, and share what you know.